listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. Not getting you in the headphones because I'm wearing, because they're not plugged into anything, some say. But you're listening to Trapdoor on WRCT Pittsburgh. And I'm not listening to myself. But now I am. That was way too loud. Okay. Welcome to Trapdoor. It's a holiday special, actually, some say. But I'm saying right now that we're doing a holiday-ish special with a lot of new punk. And we have Trapdoor's very first interview coming in at around 5, 6, maybe even 7 minutes from now. Who may even know how many songs we get through in those 6 minutes, but we're going to figure it out. We're going to start with Tombo, Dark Thoughts 2, off of the newer album. I believe that's music songs, naturally. Listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. There are other shows that don't happen to be Trapdoor with DJ Sideways. Some of them are even late at night, like the Deep Blues Hour. What's better than an hour of classic and traditional blues music? 2 hours of the Deep Blues Hour. Join Steve every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. for 2 hours of classic and traditional blues on WRCT Pittsburgh. And also, you may want to hear about some other shows, maybe Dr. Ossie's Tembo Sounds show. It's a uniquely curated radio show mixed live
and presented by the scholar practitioner, Dr. Oscar Rodoli, on WRCT Pittsburgh, Saturdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Two shows at 8 to 10 p.m. Different days of the week, I've heard. But you're listening to Smoke Snowflake Music by Dragon Inn 3, and you're listening to Billium with Licorice that we're going to be quiet for. Holiday special. We're going to be interviewing the person that made this in about, like, 3 minutes. Well, I did do it a couple weeks ago. I'll shut up. Busted Head Racket and Billium with I'm Existential off their new Christmas EP. I believe Genetic Southern Hemisphere, but I need to triple check that. I've double checked it, but maybe I need to triple check it. But up next, we have about 10 minutes of questions from a Discord call, if you could believe it. You could probably believe it. With Arden of Busted Head Racket and Billium of Billium Disco Junk. Billium and the split bills, so many things. And they spoke with DJ Sideways. Up next, me talking again, but asking a question this time. Enjoy. There'll be more later in the hour, just so you know. Quote unquote egg punk. And what does that general genre mean?
I feel like I'd have to classify it as that. Like, I mean, I can't say I particularly, you know, resonate with that term, but, you know, it's kind of what I guess people classify me as, and I guess that's how genre works. I guess, like, I don't know, the way I describe egg punk is like very fast and neurotic punk with the speed of hardcore and the joy of snorting a line of sugar.
Yeah, I would say too, like, I get the egg punk genre logo is kind of fun. I feel like some people hate it. I feel like, Billy, you hate it a little bit, don't you?
I mean, I've learned to live with it. That's what I'll say. I've learned to live with it. I have a right to be mad about it because, like, I wasn't there at the inception of it. Like, I'm, in terms of, like, whatever you would call this kind of, I don't know if it's a movement or a genre or whatever, like, I come in, like, late 2018, so I can't really complain about anything. This is the path I chose.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think it'd be cool if you went to a show and people actually had eggs. That's what I want.
Yeah, just egg us all the way.
Please egg me.
Egg the audience, even.
And just so you know, the context of that is a question that was asking, do you classify your genre or general sound as egg punk? Egg punk, for those that don't know, is whatever they've been talking about for the last 2 minutes. It's fast, it's hardcore, it's synthy, it's weird, it's punk. And here's possibly the rest of this answer.
Take them home and cook them, but I mean, that's up to you. That's about your skill level.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I feel like, too, whenever someone's asking, like, what's egg punk? I go, have you heard of chain punk? And then you delve into that whole thing about how chain punk's heavier than egg punk. But really, they're pretty much the same.
Yeah, both just very fast. They hit the drum hard and they yell about silly things. Sometimes serious things, but mostly silly things.
Mostly silly.
And then so since I have both of you here on the call, I kind of want to talk a little bit about overall collaboration, especially for kind of a genre that is very, or general sound that's very online and very collaborative, I think. What kind of changes about your songwriting processes when you're doing a collaboration versus a solo project?
I think first of all, me and Arden write songs really well together. Like, I think it only took us like, was it like 4 days total? I think, Arden, you're going to have to correct me on this one. Was it about 4 days?
Yeah, I think it was like a song a day, I'm pretty sure.
Something like that. It was very quick. And I don't know. I feel like I kind of write quite simple. I think especially the way we did it, which was just like trading demos and emails until we got the final thing. It kind of felt like making a solo project. It was just other parts Arden did and, you know, it just allowed me to kind of disconnect from that. And I was like, this is fantastic. I actually like these songs. I don't hate my voice on this, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty much, like Billy said, it didn't really feel too different to writing, like, solo. It was just kind of like having a second opinion that kind of, like, changed little bits and was like, how about this idea? So I feel like it was just, I think we were lucky that we just wrote it really well together.
Yeah, it was just a nice and beautiful, breezy, collaborative process.
Yeah.
Good to hear. On that kind of train, how generally similar is like a first take demo to the final track? Like, how much evolution do you kind of see, especially if the songwriting process is that quick?
I don't know about you, Arden, but most of the songs I release are demos. I don't ever record a second version. I think for this one, you, Arden, came with a lot of demos, like just like rough song structures or riffs, and then we would like each take turns like messing with things. Like Arden would send through the demo, I'd do like a drum and guitar track, and then Arden would do some bass and synth and vocals, and then I would add a couple things on top of it.
I think for this project it was pretty much very similar to the demos anyway. But when I write music for BHR, I pretty much, because I can't drum very far, so all my demos have drum machines. So then I'll rework it again when we like do the final recording with live drums, and I'll get Riley drums to do the tracks. But otherwise, they're pretty much exactly the same as the demos. They just sound a bit different.
That is interesting. I'm kind of on that general like lo-fi-ish like sound and like that crunch. How do you think that you kind of navigate that edge between something that's like sonically enjoyable and fun and something that kind of sounds like homemade and rough? Does that kind of come from like recording equipment, editing, or something else in the process?
I feel like it comes from the gear, maybe. I guess, Billion, you use like a digital recorder, don't you? Like a DAW.
Yeah, it's a little digital Tascam 8-track, so it's probably got the same guts as like an interface that you'd use to record like any number of things with a computer. It's just its own separate unit that you can record on. I don't know if it is any different to like a normal like interface. I think it might just be like you could do everything on the units. So, like I did every single thing I do through that. In terms of like navigating between like a lo-fi sound and like something that sounds good, it's a bit tricky because like I think the only reason I've been able to do it is because, like, I just have spent enough time putting things into other things and having stuff sound terrible to the point where I get to a sound that I reckon sounds, like, you know, tolerable. I think Alec needs a big shout-out, who mastered it. He really beefed up the tracks and made them sound absolutely incredible.
Yeah, he did a good job on the mastering. I think the tracks I sent over were just recorded on GarageBand, honestly, which is pretty funny because I feel like people have like all the debate app, Ableton and Logic or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. If you write a good song, and it doesn't matter how you record it, if it's a good song, people will like it. Like, that's kind of always been my approach.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah. But with BHR stuff, I use tape when I record, so I guess the lo-fi sound comes from the actual tape itself.
Yeah, you're a masochist with that. I don't get how I could, like, do, like, most of my stuff on tape. That's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I reckon you could. I'll have to do it sometime.
I'll do it. I think like we'll do it at some point for Billion, but like I'm just so lazy. I'm just so phenomenally lazy.
Yeah. It's almost scary because if the tape gets destroyed, if you didn't back it up, it's gone.
Yeah. I guess that could happen with digital stuff. Like my 8-track corrupted the other day and I lost a couple of songs, which I'm a bit annoyed about, but they're also songs. Like,
yeah, they were stuff.
Like, I don't know, I wasn't, like, I, like, had parts for it done for ages, and then I did nothing with it, and then they got lost, and I was like, well, I mean, I probably was never going to do anything with it, so I'll just count it as cleaning out my hard drive.
Kind of, like, on that, like favorite synthesizers or entry-level recommendations, or just a keyboard and a program?
Ooh, I love Dave. We used to use an MS-20, which is really good. But they're so expensive, so I ended up getting an MS-1, which is like a Behringer copycat of like a Roland synth. And I love that synth. It's so good. I'm pretty sure Devo used it at some point. And what's the guy with the hair? He makes the, like the crab meme.
I can't think of it either.
He's on the team. I type, the guy has the white hair. Oh my God, what's his name? He makes the electronic song.
You're describing so many people, I feel like, right now.
I know.
The crab rave situation?
Yeah, well, is he, like, really popular? Didn't he die? Why am I
Avicii?
No. Imagine Avicii used it. I can't think of it.
Yeah, I use a Korg monologue. I'm very annoyed because one of the keys died yesterday. It just won't make sound, so I've got to get that fixed. But I really love the Korg monologue. I think it's an excellent synth. It's got a bunch of built-in sounds. So again, my lazy ass doesn't have to do that much. I can just modify sounds slightly, and then it's my own little unique thing. I definitely want to try and get a mini log soon because I want to start using more than one note at a time. You know, upgrade the sound.
Yeah. I also figured out the artist. It's the Prodigy.
Ah, the Prodigy, Prodigy, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that was resolved quickly.
I just Googled it so quick.
if you want some good Prodigy content, I will shout out the greatest video. Well, I mean, the greatest thing I've probably ever made is a video called The Prodigy Want People on the Stage. If anyone wants to go look that up, I'm extremely proud of it. It is my greatest accomplishment.
On YouTube?
Yeah. I'll link it in like here and all that. It's the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Really doing something stupid?
Yeah, I know. I'm very serious.
Impossible. Moving on from kind of like the synthesizer things, more towards vocals. Is there anything that makes a song kind of appeal as yelling in like a high-pitched screech versus a dull monotone, or using either one? Is there anything that helps decide how strong a vocal should be?
I usually just do it on like how sore my voice is on any given day, because I probably need to get better at like preserving it. But like I feel like if either one can work, although I generally prefer to do like more nasally loudy vocals on like tracks where I don't have to be super melodic. Like if there's a keyboard doing like the part of a melody and I don't have to carry as much with my voice, I feel like that's when shouting's really good.
Yeah, I think it's a situational, I guess, whatever the mood is.
Simply,
no thoughts, just do
whatever fits into everything else. Are vocals typically the last thing that is decided, or is it just very situational for song to song?
For me, it's always vocals last.
Yeah, you are.
Vocals for me are always like the last thing I think about. Like I just do whatever. It's kind of an afterthought. I think there's only a few songs I've ever written where like the lyrics have come first or like something like that. I'm not a songwriter. I'm more just like a person who has to yell over fast, loud, clangy things.
Yeah, I think I'd say it depends, but I never like know the lyrics. That is definitely the last thing. But the vocal melody I always like think of or I write a song. I have an idea of it.
You just listen to Billiam and Arden from Busted Head Racket. Their new Christmas EP, Genetic Southern Hemisphere Christmas, has 3 killer tracks. You've heard one, I'm Existential, has a music video with claymation Santa crying and eventually ending his own life, sadly. Sometimes Christmas is not so happy. You've heard Junk Food by Busted Head Racket. You're going to hear Junk Food by Busted Head Racket. You've already heard Licorice by Billiam and I'm Existential off the new EP. And you've heard Dragon Inn 3 with Snowflake Music. Because it's the holidays. Do you know that? Well, Lisa will be soon. Up next, we have Junk Food.
Chicken wings, curry and honey, cookie.
Neon Lights by the illustrious Spody Boy. Before that, Nothing Is Happening, HD by Eric Nervous, out with a reissue of Familiar Anxieties. Live, Laugh, Wine by Pal, off of a new split. Split or Splat? I'm not sure. I think just Splat. Before that, we had Junk Food by Busted Head Racket. We have more Busted Head Racket and Billiam up right now, off of their Christmas AP, Genetic Southern Hemisphere Christmas, out on all the places you can listen to music. We have Bobble Break, because sometimes you gotta take a break from bobbles, mainly. We have more interview. Got another 12 minutes with Arden of Busted Head Racket, Billiam of Billiam, and many other things. And after that, some more music, maybe not by Billiam or Busted Head Racket, but of stuff you might like, stuff that's vaguely related to the holidays. We got 1-800-Mikey up next, not up next, but in a while. Got even some new Cherry Glazer. So stay tuned. This is the more interview part with these beautiful people from Australia. I believe Billiam from Melbourne, actually, and Arden from Newcastle. So this was an online, though both Australian, an online collaboration. Enjoy.
You have mentioned Devo a little bit earlier. Are there some general influences / favorite bands that you'd like to either recommend or share?
I feel like Devo is like just an influence on like how I choose to live my life and my general philosophy. Like, we both got to see Devo when they came down here in the past couple of weeks, and it was pretty life changing. I feel like it was kind of went both ways with how much we enjoyed it, right, Arden?
Yeah, that was so epic. I feel like the whole time I just had like a massive smile on my face. I cried. Did you cry, Bill?
I didn't cry, but Mary Lou did, and I'm really mad I didn't witness it because we were in like separate seats. Like, it was, yeah, I got pretty close, though. I was pretty hyped.
Yeah, it was so good. I feel like I love listening to, like, you know, the classics. I listen to Prison Fam, like, BT, and, like, I think my favorite band out of the whole Sydney crew is, like, 1-800-Mikey. I love that band so much. But I like listening to a lot of, like, not big punk music anyway, I guess, that I don't use, like, that I use as inspirations.
I'm trying to think of like what stuff I was kind of listening to when I was like writing this. I was listening to a lot of Goblin Daycare, which is an artist from Turkey who I think is sick.
I like listening like a lot of Peach Kelly Pop. I love Peach Kelly Pop.
Oh, I love Peach Kelly Pop. I just want them to make another album. They're so good.
They're great.
You mentioned the kind of Sydney crew. Is there anything particularly unique and special about the Australian punk scene that's going on at the moment? I feel like new acts are popping up essentially every month, like recently, like Lothario and Itchy and the Knits and such. It's kind of hard to keep up with everything new that's popping up.
Yeah, well, I play in the Lothario live band, so I'm very much familiar with Annalisa and her genius. I feel like just Australia is always kind of, because it's so isolated, produced very strange music that kind of tends to work well with punk and like alternative music. Like you hear stories of like the Geeks and like Chic Nazis and the Victims forming in Perth, which is the most isolated city on the planet, just because they read descriptions of the Sex Pistols in a magazine in 1976 before like the records even got to Australia, and they were starting bands based on it because it resonated with them so much. But like, I feel like right now, like I'm speaking more, like I'm from Melbourne, Arden's from Newcastle, which is like kind of the Sydney area. There's a lot of people who are very keen to do things. Like there's venues that want to put on shows and people who want to go to those shows and take photos and record bands and put bands out. And that just kind of encourages, you know, encourages bands to do things.
Yeah, I feel like too, I think it's all over, like all over the same attitude, like people that make like egg punk music, it's really connected. I feel like with some genres of music, and like it's fine, there's no issues with it, but like it's a little like exclusive maybe, and like certain people might like not talk to you because maybe you're not like that popular of a band. But like I feel like within the community, no matter really who you are, like everyone is like just really stoked on each other. I don't know, do you think that, Billy?
I would say so. Like obviously there's dead hits in any given situation in life, but like I feel like you know, like I've, you know, I very clearly remember when like I started doing this punk stuff, and like it was the first time in my life where I did something and people were like, this is cool, you should keep doing this, can I help you do that? It was like the first time I was like, god damn, there's like nice yeah. people who like want to encourage this strange child to do things. Okay, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think the community is really strong. It's super cool.
Bloody sick even.
Some may say. What generally made you guys want to do a Christmas EP together?
I think just messaged me one day and was just like, do you want to do a Christmas EP? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, I really wanted to do some Christmas songs because I really like, I don't really like Christmas. I've grown to like it more, but I really like Waves has a Christmas song. And I've like, I think they did two songs actually, maybe. But I was like, oh man, I want to write one. And then I didn't want to write on my own. I really love Billy, so I was like, we should write some music together. So I think, yeah, just like that, that's how it happened.
Yeah, just, I don't know, I also, like, at that time, had just, like, left my job, so I had a lot of time, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. I was, like, in the process of quitting my job as well, so Christmas time, the Christmas spirit came through.
Yeah, shout-outs to unemployment and no shout-outs to Coles.
Yeah.
Well, let me obviously, shout-outs to Santa always.
always going into that a video for Existential, what kind of goes into a decision of which tracks are worthy enough for a music video and which ones are not?
I don't know, I feel like Arden's gonna have to be the one to answer it because that's all their like brain concoction and doing. I just kind of sat back and watched the magic happen in real time.
Yeah, I think it was, like, with that song I could really, I really wanted to make the Santa, like, with the gun. Like, I just, because I do all the claymation. I've done a couple music videos, but I actually haven't done, like, any of my own music videos yet. So I was like, oh, I want to do it. And I kind of thought of, like, because we didn't really have much time. I think we wrote the songs and then had them mastered and released them within, like, a couple of weeks. And so, yeah, it was just more like that was the... had all the ideas for that song. Yeah, and then I just hit up Billy. I was like, can you just record yourself like playing instruments or something? And then yeah, that's how that came together.
Yeah, it's kind of probably the fastest turnaround time I've ever had for a release, because normally like I finish things quite quickly, but then it's like it has to get mastered, and then like I have to get the art done, and then I have to like, you know, send it to the label that goes in the pressing plant, then I have to do like all the marketing and yada yada yada. Whereas this one, I think from, like, us agreeing to do it to it coming out was less than 2 weeks, I think. Or probably, like, more like 3 weeks. Which is great, because it means, like, don't hate the song by the time it comes out. So I'm still, like, stoked on this EP.
Wow, that is that is a very quick turnaround. I did not expect that.
Yeah, we work quicker on these parts.
Yeah, lightning fingers.
Lightning keys. Do you guys have a favorite claymation piece of media?
I feel like a lot of the, especially the really early Aardman stuff, like Creature Comforts, I'm really a big fan of. I love like that kind of very dry, like using animation, especially claymation, to animate very dry things, I think is really funny. Like, I love that. I love a lot of the art of like Les Claypool and a lot of the Primus stuff, I think looks awesome. I'm trying to think of like other clay things. Cause like,
I really like Pingu. Do you like Pingu, Billy?
I don't get me started on Pingu. Sorry, I need to stop swearing because this is the radio. But like in high school, kids used to play like the Pingu sound effect like in my ear until I would like snap. So I absolutely despise Pingu.
Oh no.
Like it's no one's fault. I just have very negative association with that on its own.
Oh, I think it's kind of funny. Like Coraline. I know that's not claymation, but it's similar. Stop motion.
It fits in the bucket, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I love Coraline as well.
I believe both of you have announced some tour coming up in the new year. Do you want to maybe plug some of those or talk about the touring experience?
I'll do a cheeky little plug. Split Bills are doing some shows around Australia from early February to early March, and we're going over to Europe late September to late October. Very stoked on that. The last tour Split Bills did of Australia was probably some of the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. Lots of very silly moments, especially like Arden, staying at Arden's because we stayed at Arden's in Newcastle, and there were a lot of hijinks that occurred, a lot of funny moments.
And I've got Teo from old Teo, I guess, if I say his name. I've got to stop calling him Teo. He's from Germany and he's coming over in a month, actually. He's going to be like living with me for a bit, so we're doing a tour with him, which will be so fun. That's over January, February, and then in May we're going to Europe as well, so yeah, it should be pretty cool. 85% of the tour is like booked and it looks mental. It's like every day there's a show for a whole month, so trying to mentally prepare for that.
Yeah, I need to message Jens because we've got the same booker and just say, yo, if you're struggling to get some days, just leave them off. We need to rest. Shout outs to Jens. I think Teo is also driving us through Europe as well, which is going to be sick.
Yeah, it's so cool. See, it's so connected. I told you.
Yeah, just like, I think it's because, you know, if you're making guitar music in 2023, you're kind of strange and you need to connect or, you know, it's going to die off.
Since this station's Pittsburgh-based, do you guys see yourselves ever coming to the U.S. for a tour?
Oh, absolutely. It's gonna be a little while. We're gonna see if we survive Europe and then go from there. But I definitely just want to go to the U.S. Like, even if it's not for music stuff, there's a lot of things I just want to go and see and like chill out in. I think Pittsburgh is another place I'd really want to go to. There's a couple of landmarks that I'd really want to go and check out.
Yeah, I so badly want to go to America. I went to America on holidays when I was like 16 and I thought it was pretty cool, but I really want to play so bad. It's just money, I guess. So if anyone wants to fund a tour, you're very welcome to. And also I want to play Gorna, so I guess waiting until they ask us, if they'll ever ask us.
Yeah, so if there are any oil tycoons listening to this and you like need to get rid of money to like for tax reasons, we're here and we have very little morals.
Yes, we will launder your money for you.
Absolutely.
It'd be cool if we went together, Bill. To America.
Oh, that I feel like awesome. That will eventually happen.
Yeah, like in some and then way, we can play happen. The song.
Yeah, shout outs to it.
I think those are most of the main questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add to a previous answer that you didn't get quite to get out?
Nothing I can really think of, other than thank you very much for having us on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course, thank you for being on. I'm really excited to be talking with you both.
Thank you very much. And like, if you ever want like promo stuff for anything, like if I'm releasing something and you want like the MP3s or like the FLACs or whatever, just send me a message.
Okay, that was the questions that I asked Billiam and Arden. And that's where we're going to move on to some other music. We got Floats with Bury Me with Pan Dulce. Or Dolce. Not quite sure. Enjoy.
Looking at your emotions, I'm
This is Holiday by Adult Books. Before This, Hold Me by 1-800-MIKEY. Before that, Bury Me with Pan Dolce by Floats. You've been listening to a Holiday interview special with DJ Sideways on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, WRCT.org. If you look us up on Spinatron, you can see what songs have been playing this hour, so you can figure that out. Or you can just look in the top right, or just click the trap door in the schedule, and you'll see all my playlist. I'll upload this one right after this show. Up next, you have Terry Glazer with Bad Habit, but we also have some things to say. Such as a PSA of some sort. You know, sometimes you're indecisive, but hey, everyone, let's all just stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. Felt good, huh? Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They can be loud moments, goofy moments, teaching moments. Doesn't really matter, because every time dads take a moment like that to spend time with their kids, it's pretty momentous. So take a moment to make a moment today. Call 877-4DAD-411, or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and WRCT. Just so you know. May have some other information for you, such as that the Earth has a natural balance of life. Global warming is disrupting that balance. You can help fight global warming if every family replaces 3 frequently used light bulbs with compact fluorescent bulbs. It's like taking 3.3 million cars off the road. Find out how you can help at fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council. Fight global warming in small ways, if you'd like. We have Terry Glazer with A Bad Habit. Probably going to round out the hour with Cyborg by something is Scandinavian. Yako Aino. Kalevi, of course. Enjoy. And then I believe we have either Record Roulette or Circadian Rhythms with Melody Melatonin. You will find out. Enjoy. Synthy indie-ish ones off that album. And did you know, I'm gonna do this one as fast as I can, because we're pushing up on the hour. WRCT is supported by Tartan Inc. Tartan Inc. is a full-service copy and print shop located in the University Cohen Center on the Carnegie Mellon University campus. Services provided by the copies that include, you know, these ones. Black and white and color copies, single and double-sided copy, and an assortment of colored and textured papers, including cover stock, specialty papers such as gloss paper, resume quality paper, and large format poster paper. They also offer binding and finishing options that include cutting, lamination, folding, padding, stapling, co-loading, and comb thermal coil binding. Wow! Tartan Inc. is also an authorized ship and drop-off site for UPS shipping. For more information, visit the website at cmu.edu/tartaninc, or call 412-268-4828. That's 412-CMU-4828. If you want to call me, and that sounds like something you'd enjoy, you can call 412-268-WRCT, 412-CMU-WRCT, 412-268-9728. So many ways to do it. So many ways to go about it. And if you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email PR at WRCT.org for more information about professional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. And this is Cyborg by Yako, I know, Kalevi, and John Moods. Just see. listening to Trapdoor and WRCT Pittsburgh online at WRCT.org. This is Cyborg by Jaakko Aino-Kalevi. We're going to hand it off to Automation. I believe we have a mix by Mando Richard. And here's Folk Show. I believe Wednesdays, is that 12 to 2? I'm just trying to get that time off the dome. That's Wednesday. Sorry, 11 to 2. You get 3 hours, Amanda Richard, Whiskey Before Breakfast. But now we're going to hand it off to him. This is also Pixie GF by Powerplant off of the album Stump Soup, if you were wondering.
WRCT Pittsburgh, your oil revival station.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications in a variety of formats.